filmmaker J.D. DeSalvatore is here to talk about her Dune documentary film, How to Save a Dog, and give us her spin on her LGBT issues. Hi, J.D.
Hi, sweetie. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Good, good, good.
Tell us about your new documentary, How to Save a Dog.
I am making a documentary currently, and in addition to the documentary, I'm doing about 30 to 50 internet educational videos about the efforts to rescue dogs and cats in America, and more specifically, the documentary is having to do with the rescue community in Los Angeles and their efforts to make the city no-kill, which means that the shelters would not euthanize because of space.
What was your inspiration for taking on a project like this?
I just find the rescue world fascinating. Like, I've been volunteering at my local city animal shelter for 5 or 6 years at this point, and I just found the work to be absolutely fabulous. I mean, it's just fascinating. You and I know each other from working in the social change work with the LGBT community. You know, I did that 10, 15 years. It's not that different than that as far as how people are hoping to achieve this, but I just find it fascinating. From, like, I work in a very specific area. I work at the shelter, but there are also hundreds of rescues, some of them run by just one person in the home. There are also large, large, huge organizations that are rescues. We have city shelters, we have county shelters, we have rescue organizations. I mean, it's a movement. It's huge. And it's, again, not one or two people or one or two organizations doing one thing. It's just wide and far. And I think in Los Angeles, it's a good place to do this documentary because I think it could be symbolic of the movement across the United States to achieve this as a society. Like, I don't think we should be killing household pets. I just think in an advanced society, like, the only reason we have cats and dogs is because we like to have them as pets. So the only reason we have them is because we're making them because we like them for our homes. And yet, you know, when there are extras and, you know, we just put them in a place and kill them, it just makes no sense to me if we're going to be an advanced, elevated culture or society. Like, we shouldn't do that. And some cities are attempting to go no-kill. Like, San Francisco's already gone no-kill. L.A. County, if you will, is on that mission right now. And again, like I said, it's just fascinating, all the elements that play into this movement, from the small mom-and-pop shops to the large organizations to the laws to the people that run around and just catch stray animals. It's just fascinating.
What do you hope to accomplish with your documentary, How to Save a Dog?
Basically, I want to engage people, because I think with our LGBT movement, was going for decades and decades and decades, I think what finally started to push us past the tipping point in the mid-2000s is just that everyone got engaged. You know, in the old days, it was just us fringe people that came out, you know, the Dykes on Bikes and the drag queens and whatnot. And then as we moved through the decades, more and more people just got engaged instead of living in the closet in middle America, just afraid to do anything. Everyone just started coming out. And the mere fact of everybody coming out, and so the rest of America could kind of see that there were gay people everywhere, that we weren't what people were saying we were, then I think it really progressed our movement. I mean, I just noticed the way it changed in L.A. It went from these diehard activists that were working on our rights, and then all of a sudden it was everybody. Like, you would show up to nonprofit events, and everybody was there, from doctors to postal workers, and everyone was involved. So I think with the no-kill movement, that's what I can do. You know, I want to engage people that are interested, that have pets, that just don't know about this movement, which I think is a lot of people, and I want to engage them. Like, what can they do to help? Because everybody can do a little something, and as soon as we get everybody doing a little something, even if it's something very slight, like sharing a photo on social media, if everyone just does a little something, then we're actually going to achieve this.
What would you like to see happen with LGBT equality in the next few years?
I think what we're doing now is we might be stamping out the last embers of those who seek to oppose us. I think all the really horrible laws we're seeing in the past couple weeks are a direct reaction to the Supreme Court ruling on marriage equality. So it took a couple years for them to get these laws in action. You know, they want to ban the bathroom issues, they want to ban services to LGBT people, and the reaction is like huge corporations like PayPal and Lionsgate Films and rock stars like Bruce Springsteen and Ringo Starr just like, guess what, we're not coming to your state, you bloody bigots, you know, and that's really great to see. It's like we reached the tipping point where this is unacceptable. So So I think right now we actually have to concentrate on smashing out these last bastions of discrimination, because the worst they can do is teach the next generation that this is okay. We could go completely backwards depending on how the next election goes and how local elections go. I mean, every place that there's a problem, these people were elected. So if they're doing things that you don't agree with, you need to get out and campaign and vote. If you do nothing else, that's very powerful. You know, we have to stomp out these anti-LGBT laws and movements. And I think we're doing that. In the old days, people like us, we had to go out and march in the streets and bear all sorts of brunts of hate mail and whatnot. And now Bruce Springsteen's doing it for us.
LGBTQ teens are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers, and we continue to have numerous teens taking their own lives after facing bullying incidents. What advice would you have for these kids?
To all of our LGBT youth is just call the Trevor Project. I mean, we have a resource that we've been pouring money and good people into for years. There's a helpline and there's support material, so you can reach out and you can talk to somebody that will be able to talk to you, and it's confidential. And you're not alone. I mean, the whole thing with it gets better, you know, it might get better. I don't know how well that lands on people's ears. I mean, I know when I was a kid, I really believed that. You know, I really believed if I grew up and moved away, things would get better. But I don't know how that lands. I know some people sometimes feel when your parents take you to Exodus, when your clergy's against you, when your neighbors are against you, when there's so much shame in the household, just because you're gay, I mean, are you kidding me? It's unfathomable to me that people think like this, but they do. So as far as children, my advice would be definitely reach out and call and get connected to the rest of us, because you actually have a family and you have peers and you have an accepting environment out there. Get to it, you know, and make those phone calls. And even within your community, it is not impossible to go find a PFLAG meeting or the center or online now. I mean, a lot of people, when kids first started reaching out about 15 years ago, they were all talking to each other on the gay websites in the comments. Reach out and find your community so you know you're not alone, because you're not.
How can people get information and also to contribute to help you with How to Save a Dog?
I have an Indiegogo up and going called How to Save a Dog. I also have a website you can Google called How to Save a Dog. And you can also find my Facebook page, How to Save a Dog. And there's various ways you can donate. I created an Amazon wish list, which is very specific items we need. That's fun for people. I've had a lot of people buy off of that, which is basically our filming equipment or special treats for the dogs, like the arthritis treats and stuff. I put just a whole list of things we use and things we need to document the movement. And then you can just pay via PayPal as well. Google How to Save a Dog.
What other projects are you working on?
I'm working, actually, in addition to this documentary, I'm making another documentary about trans people. At this point in our LGBT movement, I think trans issues are on the forefront. But more importantly, again, I don't think it's fair what's being done to trans people. So I'm making a documentary that basically will introduce people to my trans friends, actually. And again, this is not going to change the world, this documentary, but I can do this. You know, I can make this documentary. And when you do things like this, like you do a little something as a person, it's like there are other people fighting legal battles. You know, there's organizations providing aid. You know, there's a lot of people doing a lot of things. And I can make, you know, a documentary that introduces you to some trans people, so maybe it, like, kind of just demystifies it a little bit. That's my intent, at least. So I'm working on that as well, and I'm doing the How to Save a Dog documentary. I mean, I'm developing television and film, as I always have, but you know me, I do tend towards these social cause issues because it's unfortunate that we need it. You know, my whole life hasn't been social change work. I used to live my life like everybody else and just care about myself, you know. But when you look around your city and your country and your society, at some point it's like you can't just let it fall to shit, you know.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
I don't know. I just have a good attitude, I guess, you know. Your life may be tough, but there's always somebody else that has it tougher, and in so much that just we as humans will always go through bad things. You know, you go out in the world and you don't realize how rough other people have it, and you're having a rough time too, but it's always important to understand it's just like bad things didn't just happen to you because of you. Bad things just happen. This is the world we live in. It's sort of chaos, if you will, but people get in a car accident and lose their wife and kids all in one shot, I mean, that sounds like the end of the world. We have millions of people dealing with Alzheimer's. Their parents have Alzheimer's. You know, we've lived through the AIDS epidemic where everyone just dropped like flies while the government did nothing. You know, I have terminal cancer. I'm dying of cancer. It's not fun, I'll tell you that. It's that old saying about, like, dying is easy, comedy is hard, is completely inaccurate. A comedy is much easier than dying. But, you know, you just get up every day, and this is, you know, these are just the cards you were dealt. They're no better or no worse than the person next to you's cards. So it's always, I don't know, I just have a good attitude about things. I don't know that it's intentional, I just have it. You know, you just go. You know, you go as long as you can, try to be loving and kind. I think kindness is now the most important commodity we can have. And I happen to be naturally empathetic, but I think it wouldn't hurt us as a society to kind of having a little bit of emphasis on kindness towards others goes a long way to make you just a happy person in general.